Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, we reached the end of verse 9. Let's listen today as we continue with our study of verse 9. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Foundation for the Bible says.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you'll have a good King James Bible ready there with you on Titus chapter 3. You say, well, why have the King James Bible? Because sometimes we look at words and word meanings, and some of these other versions, they don't like some of the words that are in the King James, even though they're translated from the manuscripts of the Textus Receptus, the right ones, but yet they don't want to go by it because they like a better word or better explanation. And then, of course, it ends up taken away from the context as well as so many other things. That's why I encourage you to have that. The Bible was not written with errors in it. It never had errors, and it's been preserved without error. You just make sure that you have the right Bible that is translated for the Old Testament, the Masoretic text, and the New Testament, the Textus Receptus. Too many are doing a thing called today, dynamic equivalence. Boy, doesn't that sound smart? What they're saying is they figure out what it's talking about, and then they translate it into words they think help you to understand it so much better. And what we have found over the time is that they confuse and they give a misunderstanding, and people end up going into false things. Now you say, why are you saying that? Because I think as we start with verse 9 here in Titus chapter 3, you're going to see these things, that is actually the way it's happening. That's the way it is. And so let me read here in verse 9 for you, and we'll get started today on our text. And he says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Does that make you think, why would you do something that is unprofitable and vain? Now, why wouldn't I avoid it? Because so many people get deceived, and so they're unable to avoid it. Now, we see some of the things that are listed here in chapter 1, which, you know, kind of helps to set up this entire book. Telling in verse 9, he states, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Why do they do? They turn people away from the truth. That turn away people from the truth. That's the problem that goes on. Some things were written in the Bible, but very little. There was one little part in the Bible, in Daniel chapter 4, that was written originally in Arabic. But that was God that was talking about Nebuchadnezzar's conversion. He wrote his thing, and it was preserved in that manner. Now, one of the problems they have had back in that day is a thing that was called rabbinic writings. Rabbinic writings is somewhat like the Catholic Church when they took over and they didn't want people reading a Bible. As a matter of fact, that was back even in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. They didn't want people reading their Bible. I've had some Calvinists said, you know, just read our books because you can't truly understand the Bible without our guidance. So you need to read our books. And they're telling that, but see, what they are doing is that they are truly eliminating the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they are actively, whether they are aware of it or not, They are working against the very Holy Spirit of God. Now, that is costly. It could cost souls. For example, in Calvinism, I knew of a teenager from years ago. His parents were Calvinists. They taught him the doctrine very well. And he figured, I'm not predestined to be saved. And that's what he said. I mean, it's not what we're talking about. We're just saying that he said this himself. He felt like he was predestined to go to hell. Why? He had sin in his life. And he would stop, but he'd start, fall right back into something else. He'd stop, fall back into something else. And that was the history of his life. He kept falling, into something else. And so after a while, he figures, boy, I always mess up. I must not be saved. Now, as a result of that, the boy never accomplished a whole lot. As a matter of fact, it's probably a good 20 years later, the same young man committed suicide. And he died. Now, when you have things like that, that is awful. That is awful. And see, that's where false doctrine can mislead you. But them, but especially the Catholics, they're saying you can't read the Bible because you can't understand it. We can interpret it for you. We can tell you, we have studied. We know this. So don't you read the Bible because you'll go in a wrong direction. And yet the Bible lets us know it is written for our edification. It's written for us. Well, in the rabbinic writings, and a lot of them were trying to write what they thought, but they were giving more heed. Some were giving more heed to rabbinic writings than they were the written word. I mentioned dynamic equivalence, which is the idea of we think it's better to just translate it by the thought. No, folks, you want word for word translation. Because the Holy Spirit works through the Word. And all Scripture is given by inspiration. That means it's God-breathed. Now, I've had even professors tell me they didn't like my idea that these men were just writing down the words God was giving them, that it didn't include their thought processes and their directives and things of that nature. And I found that most of those men kind of went along with the critical text. You know, kind of takes apart from the Textus Receptus and other parts of the Bible, saying, well, no, this is best. We found another manuscript by some church. I know one of those places was in a monastery. They found those things, and even the Catholic priest said, these things aren't any good. I mean, they were using them to help kindle fires in the furnace at that time. When some guys came by, they found it, and they said, oh, this has got to be it. This has got to be good. We want it. And they gave it to them. Well, we'll give you our kindling paper, and they did. And it turns out that, boy, there were so many contradictions with the true Word of God. And so when you see these things, you begin to see those things, when you try to take away from the Word of God, try to change the Word of God, then there's problems, because every word was breathed out by our God to each one who wrote. Now, we've got 66 books, we say, of the Bible. Well, each one that was used of God wrote every word exactly the Lord gave them. That's what got some of the professors I talked to upset. They're saying, oh, you're saying he's like a secretary taking dictation and writing it down. No thought of his own. Well, don't forget, we also find out in 1 Peter that they were holy men of old. Now, if holy men of old were used to write, they had one of the qualifications that God had in the people he chose to write is they would not try to put it in their own thinking, in their own way of thinking, but rather they would do exactly the words he gave. Now, folks, that ought to be very important to you. That is a doctrine. Every word is God-breathed, and it was written down exactly. God didn't lie. In Psalms chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, it says that he has preserved this word. He tried it like gold in a fire, purified 7 times. That means it was complete. It was proven. It was actually pure. And he says he had preserved it from this generation forever. I was listening to a man that was doing a podcast, And he was talking about taking his church out of the King James. Just saying how it has ruined people and it hurts kids and things like that. And now they're working on how to get you out of the King James. And so they're doing that. They were King James, so I expect their apology tour after a while of how they are so sorry they preach in the King James. They went on this with the contemporary when they started going to contemporary music, and they started leaving the standards, leaving good music, leaving those things that are true. And they started all of a sudden justifying the flesh, saying we have liberty to do these things. Those kind of people end up going on their apology tour for having been a fundamentalist and having preached the truth as it is to men as they are from the Word of God. They just decided we're going to go another direction. They got deceived by the devil. I hope that they would have revival. I hope that they'd get right with God. Then they'd go on a second apology tour, apologizing for having been deceived, apologizing for the lies that they were telling against God, and that they said God opened their window for them to see these truths, that they didn't even know the voice of God, because God's voice would never tell them to go in that direction to honor and glorify the flesh. And so, I just really say, watch out for those kinds. And this is what verse 9 in our text is trying to tell us here. He's trying to tell us to avoid things. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. If God tells you something is unprofitable and vain, be wise. Be wise. Don't take it hook, line, and sinker and try it anyway, saying, well, I'm better, you know, I've got the strength. I'm not going to be deceived by that. I'm telling some folks recently, I remember teenage girls, we were warning about going out and they're dating and things of that nature as you do in youth groups. And I remember one particularly said, that would never happen to me because we have control and we would not do that. And she ended up pregnant and getting married. At least that they did get married, and I believe they're still together, that couple. But nonetheless, they thought they had control. And here they are, teenagers, thinking that they have control. Look, biology kicks in, and there is not control for a lot of them. Matter of fact, there are adults in their 30s and 40s, even in their 50s, that have no control. So I'm just saying that they think they do, but they don't. Your strength is not in yourself. Your strength is in the Lord. And so walk with God. Learn the joy of the Lord so that you don't fall into these sinful things. Now, as we have seen here, and we've looked at some of these things, I want you to know that God is on our side as far as trying to lead us in the right directions. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Lord.